The format of the speaker series is speaker discussion. Our speaker today is Tim, who will share on the topic of the principles of Step 9 and Step Tradition. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If somebody could time me, let me know when 12 minutes are up, and then I'll wrap up with another 3 minutes after that. Okay, thank you. So, all right, let me start by, I've been in Overeaters Anonymous for roughly 6 years, and I'm currently maintaining for the last probably 5 years, approximate 100-pound weight loss. I will show a picture of my older, heavier self. And so that is what I looked like before program. So, like so many other people in program, I always overate, but I never realized or never wanted to admit that I overate until I got into program and I had to basically look back on my past and figure out why at age 50, when I went to the doctor, I was being told I was pre-diabetic. I was on Lipitor and I had sleep apnea and I was using a CPAP machine. And I was at the point where the doctor was going to put me on diabetic medication. I had to do a lot of searching and I looked, and what I found out was that I would have expected my problems to begin with my first marriage, my first wife, but my problems were from my childhood. I ate to cover my emotions, and that could be loneliness. I was an only child. It could be anger. It could be stress. It could be anxiety. I can remember as a child hiding food, putting food in the pockets of my bathrobe and going back to my room at night. And my mother saying, you know, why are you walking sideways? You know, because I had too much food in the pocket of my bathrobe, or rearranging the wrappers in the food containers in the pantry. So it appeared that the packages were full. I mean, silly me, I was a child. So I didn't realize that if my mother picked up the package, it was like she could tell there was nothing in it just by the weight. But I tried to make the volume look like it was there. In my teen years, I had a very awkward, growing up. High school was awkward because in part I was an only child and my parents were quite a bit older when they had me. So I really didn't have a lot of guidance as far as like social behaviors from my parents. I had to try to figure things out on my own. And I wasn't very good at figuring that out. I was better isolating and being alone, which is what I was used to. And when I was alone, I would eat. College, pretty much the same thing. If I wasn't in school, I was working. I didn't do much at all as far as college activities. My first marriage, as I mentioned before, that's where a lot of my problems blew up in my face. I was married for 16 or 17 years to my first wife. She had mental illness, alcoholism, and some drug use. And I ended up putting on a lot of weight. I ended up going, at one point I crossed the 200 pound threshold, and she had said, if you ever weigh more than 200 pounds, I'm leaving you. She didn't leave. I wish she had. It would have made my life a lot more manageable. But as things got worse, finally, she did leave and left me with total custody of 4 teenagers at the time. And that's when I went from, roughly probably 210 or 15 pounds up to 265 pounds. So I got to 265 pounds right around the time I turned 50. I remarried, and my wife, at that point when we got married, had been in Overeaters Anonymous for about 15 years. And I was like, what's Overeaters Anonymous? You know, I knew 12-step programs. I was in one before and still am in Al-Anon. But she explained to me what Overeaters Anonymous was. I went to a few meetings with her in the beginning and it didn't really click with me. I was like, no, I really don't get it. I'll just keep going to the gym and tell myself that I'm exercising, the weight off, or I'm healthy because I've got some muscle. Not realizing that when I look at the pictures now, how obese I was and how out of shape I really was. But that was the way I lived my life for the first 50 years, diet and exercise to try to rationalize away the eating. So I had Overeaters Anonymous. It's almost like secondhand smoke for somebody, you know, living with a smoker. I had secondhand program. You know, my wife did what she did. You know, she cooked great. So I ate abstinent meals, not really knowing what that meant. For dinner, she made me a nice breakfast. So I ate abstinent breakfasts and didn't realize it. I just enjoyed them. But when I got to work, I would eat, you know, crap for lunch. If I went out on business trips, I would eat crap when I was out on a business trip. And so I really didn't lose much weight, although I did go from about 265 to about 235. That was the first couple of years of our marriage. And then when I turned 50 and the doctor told me I was pre-diabetic, I said, what do I need to do? He goes, no wheat, no flour, no sugar. And I laughed. And he's like, it's not funny. I go, no, it is funny because I'm married to this. He goes, what do you mean? I says, this is what my wife does. No wheat, no flour, no sugar. So I just have to do it all day, all the time, 100%. So I jumped into program. I said, that's it. I'm done. My eating privileges were revoked. My eating license is taken away. If I want to get a conditional license back, I have to go on a food program. So I did. I got a sponsor. I started eating abstinently. I started weighing and measuring my food as part of the 90-day program. And the other 70 pounds came off in 6 months. And I was amazed because it wasn't the diet. It wasn't exercise. It wasn't, you know, stressful and arduous the way diets had been before this. The weight just came off because I just did what I was told. And that was the miracle. And, you know, with that, that gave me the confidence to continue to go through the steps. Because if the weight would come off that easily for me, then it was a miracle. So then I was looking forward to more miracles to happen. So why not go through the steps? Why not do what my sponsor tells me and just keep moving forward? You know, so to talk a little bit about step nine and the spiritual principle of love. Step nine is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And for me, my step nine was amazing. You know, it was like a burden, you know, burdens were lifted from me. They were removed because when I made amends to people, to family members, I could let go of those things that had been haunting me for my entire life, or at least since they occurred. You know, I was able to put those things behind me. And without exception, everybody that I made amends to was very kind and gracious about it and made me feel so much better to know that I could be forgiven and that in many instances, what I had done didn't harm them nearly as much as my imagination had told me it did. So, you know, that was real important to me and helped me. But the other thing I want to mention also is that, you know, with step nine, it's also including myself. And, you know, in doing an inventory and thinking about the harms I've done to others, but also looking back and looking at the harms I've done to myself and making amends to myself for them and trying and coming to the realization that, you know, God loves me just as much as God loves everybody else. So I don't need to beat myself up and to put myself down. What I need to do is respect myself and to give myself the same courtesy that I give to other people. So for me, you know, step nine also meant looking back and looking at how I'm treating myself and to learn to treat myself better, you know, and to take care of myself and to love myself. And by doing that, I love others because I'm a much happier and healthier person and my relationships are much healthier and happier. So then I also want to talk about tradition nine, which the spiritual principle there is structure. And tradition nine is our groups as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those that they serve. And in thinking about that and building on loving myself and love and care, you know, it's almost like tradition nine where, you know, I need to take care of myself. I need to do the things that I need to do for my recovery and for my program. So, you know, in a way, it's not that organized. It's up, the responsibility comes to me. But when there are things that I don't have the skills for, the abilities to do, or maybe the time for that need to be done, it's okay for me and my self-care and caring and loving for myself to reach out to professionals. You know, just like tradition nine says, we can have service boards or committees, we can, you know, OA can hire professionals to do certain tasks and jobs. Why can't I get a doctor? Why can't I get a dentist? If I need legal help, I get a lawyer. If my car breaks down, I am not going to fix the car. That's not going to help me or anybody else. So in my recovery, I've also learned that I can also afford to, and I should, help get other people involved in my recovery and help to keep my recovery strong. Because if I need to do things that a doctor does or a lawyer does or a landscaper or tax season recently, an accountant, it would drive myself, I'd drive myself crazy trying to do those things. I'd do a very poor job if I was even capable of attempting it. And it would probably cause me to relapse. So getting outside help for me helps my recovery. And so I'm not going to be long. I'll be very brief. I probably don't go even close to the 12 minutes. But really what I got from these two, from this step and the tradition, is that we need to love ourselves. You know, don't be afraid to love yourself. Don't feel guilty for it. Because by beating yourself up and putting yourself down and trying to be the martyr all the time, I was only hurting other people. And it took program for me to realize that. And now the better and healthier I am, the more relaxed I am, the better off I am as a friend, as a father, as a neighbor. My youngest son just celebrated his birthday yesterday. And he asked me, he says, he got a new condo last year. And he says, look, he says, I want to have people over. And he says, I want, you know, to use the grills. And I says, I'm like, all right, I'll help you. And he's like, okay. And I says, you sure you want to do the grills outside? Maybe I could just buy takeout. You want me to get takeout barbecue? And he says, no, I want to use the grills. So it was more difficult for me because I actually had to, you know, cut vegetables and grill them. I had to pick up supplies and grill the food and everything else. But I'm in such a place now with my recovery and my serenity that I had the time, I had the ability, I had the patience to spend the day with him. Almost from by the time I left the house in the morning to go pick up the groceries and stuff like that, preparing the night before, cutting and chopping vegetables, I spent probably 2 or 3 or 4 hours just in prep and cooking for him. And then the 4 hours that the people were there, I was still doing extra cooking errands. I enjoyed the day completely. It didn't bother me at all. But that's the gift of program. You know, that's loving myself and putting myself in a position where I'm a better service to other people. If this was before program and he had asked me to do this, I would have been so stressed out, so overwhelmed, so overworked and everything else that I would have been lousy at what I did. And if I did do it, thank you. And if I did do it, I wouldn't have enjoyed it. So the better your recovery, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, the more useful you will be to God and to others, and the less harm you'll do to yourself. Because I know before program, I did a lot of harm to myself because I was not fit physically. I was not fit emotionally or spiritually. And working through the 12 steps and learning about love and how to love others, but how to love myself, keeps me from being that person that used to punch a hole in a wall or bang his head against the wall when he got angry or take eating utensils at the kitchen table with the kids there and bend them out of anger and frustration. I don't do those things anymore. Now I can go and I can help my son have a barbecue and celebrate his birthday in his new condo and be there with family and friends and have a wonderful time. And, you know, as they say, it works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it. And I hope all of you here can take something away and just love yourselves a little bit more and just continue on your journey through the steps and just have more of that recovery and serenity and healing that we experience in program, which has been such a blessing to me. You know, and I don't want to be greedy, and I know I've been a blessing to others, but it just feels so good. And it's so precious that I thank all of you for being here, and I thank everyone, and I thank this program for the recovery it has given me. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Tim, thank you very much. Very much. That was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. So, can now open the floor, and if anyone wishes to share,